So a few weeks ago, I shared a little bit with you about our time in Guatemala, and I promise you I will wrap it up today. I just didn't quite get through everything that I was hoping to share with you, and so I noticed there were 5 Sundays in the month of December, and so I thought the last Sunday would be good just to sort of bring this to a close. So I'm looking forward to doing that, sharing a few more pictures with you. If you remember last time, I started out by saying if Jesus is the center of our faith, then everything we do as individuals in the congregation revolves around that, and that influences. Thank you, kids, for just knowing what to do, because I don't. So if we look at Jesus, he's the center of our faith. That affects how we read Scripture. That should affect how we live our lives as Christians, and that affects how we see the world. And so there were 3 questions that, if you remember, I had us ask ourselves. Because when we study the life of Jesus, there's things that we just have to come to grips with. And the first question that I ask is what did Jesus actually say? In his scriptures, if we take time to go through the 4 Gospels and we read his words, what did he actually say? And then number 2 is, are we willing to accept what he said? That would be the next logical thing. And then the 3rd thing is the most difficult, and that is, do we have the courage to follow him? We say he's our shepherd and we are the sheep, and if we can understand what he says, then the last thing that we ask ourselves is, do we have the courage to do what he tells us to do in the Gospels? In the scripture that I used a few weeks ago, was 1 John 2:6. It says, He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as Jesus walked. And we recognize that walking is it's an action, something that we have to do. It's more than just acknowledging and accepting the Lord as our Savior. We know we need to do that, but then after that, it becomes transformational. We have to do something. Not because that saves us, but because we're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. And so that propels us in our Christian life. And so it sort of relates to what I'd like to share with you. I have a few more slides. So if Emma, if you want to bring these up. So towards the end of our trip in Guatemala, one of the things that we had the opportunity to do, which was very humbling, is we went to the local dump. Not a really nice place at all. But this was a building, and I think I'm correct, a number of years ago, and I don't know how long ago, but Hope of Life, I think, helped sponsor or helped put this building up. And this building is just on the outskirts of the dump. And so what we did is we all loaded up on a school bus, and off we went to the dump. It's about 45 minutes away from Guatemala. And there's sort of like a main service road that goes back to this area where all the city's trash is dumped there. And as we were driving down this road, it's extreme poverty. And there's these shacks, and everybody, the moms and the kids are running alongside the school bus following us back because they know on every other day, Hope of Life faithfully sends a team to feed these people. And so when we get there, before we actually enter into the dump, there's this building that the school bus stops, and everybody comes and gathers in there. If you want to go to the next slide. And so there's kids everywhere in moms. And so what we did is there's a local lady that lives real close to the proximity of the dump that works with Hope of Life. And she organizes this, and we stopped at her house, and we loaded on tables, and we loaded on these big, I don't know how many gallons were in these big totes. But it's like, basically, it's like vitamin water. It's nutritious, a nutritious drink for the kids and for the adults that they have, because they don't have any clean, really, source of water. So we got that, and then we got this huge cooler of hot pasta that was cooked, that we could take. And I mean, I don't know. It took 2 of us to handle this thing of pasta was probably 200 pounds. Okay, if you want to go on to the next one. So what we did is we get the people and they sort of know what to do, and the kids, they form a couple lines, and you can see this gray container down there that's just full of this drink. And so all the kids, they come running up, they have all these little containers that they carry, and it's all these like little 2-liter bottles or 2-liter bottles or like little water bottles, wherever they can find these in the dump. And they come running up and they form lines. And what we do is we dip into the jug and we have a funnel and we fill all these containers for them as they're lined up. And then they disappear. Some of them drink the fluid right away. Thanks for dimming the lights. Some of them drink it right away, but a lot of them, they take it back, and they might give it to their moms, and the moms might fill up a bigger container, and then they come back for more. And as many as these little pop bottles that they can carry, that's what they come running up to you. So some of them have big ones, and some of them have 4 or 5, and you just fill them up, and off they go. Okay. And so we took turns helping pour this into their containers. Here Esther was holding the funnel for me. Just a very humbling experience. Okay? So here's Isaac and Anna. And this is the big cooler of pasta. So not only do they give them something to drink, but they provide them a meal. And there was pasta in there. There was vegetables. There was chicken. Some just good nutrients, and once they get their drink, then a lot of them, they come up and they have, it ranges, it's just all different sizes of bowls and plates, and you just plop on a big thing of pasta, and they usually sit in the building there, and they eat it. I had an opportunity to shovel out the pasta. I've never shoveled pasta so fast in my life. By the time I was done, I think my wrist hurt. As fast as you can go, they're just there looking for food. These people depend on hope of life. Now, here's the good thing. Allison, you might have to correct me. I want to make sure I get this right. But when hope of life started working in this dump, and we'll see pictures in a little bit or just a minute, there was maybe like, I don't know, 1,000 families that lived right in the immediate area of the dump. And what these families do is they set up these little shacks, these little shelters, and they make their living by sorting through the trash that is brought in from the city. So they'll pick out the aluminum, the metal, the plastic, and they pile it up. And then, I'm not sure, maybe once a week a recycle company comes in and gives them a very meager wage, $2 a day maybe they make. So, I mean, it's they don't make hardly anything, but that's what they do to survive. And so when Hope of Life first started working here, there were families everywhere, but they have worked tirelessly over the last few years to help these families transition out of the dump and get them into homes so they don't live like this. Because you'll see in a minute, first of all, picking through trash, I've never had to do it to survive. I don't think anybody here has. Maybe. I hope not. So it's a very stinky, dirty job. But then what they do, the whoever manages the landfill, they bring all this trash, they dump it, and then they start it on fire because they want to burn it down so it doesn't take up so much space. So these people, it's like a mad scramble when the garbage truck comes. It's people from all over go start digging through this because, number one, they want to find the most valuable thing that they can find in there. But then they want to try to get to it before it burns. And so these people are picking through garbage that's on fire. And if you can think about what it smells like to burn garbage, all the plastic, the chemicals there, it's nasty. And so some of these people who have been born and raised and lived at the dump, they are their health is terrible because of all the smoke that they've breathed in over the last decades of years. So all the families that Hope of Life can help transition out of there is a family that's saved. But there's still a lot of people that really count on them bringing food in. If you want to go to the next one. Here's just another picture of us shoveling in the pasta. And there was a lot of pasta in that in that tub, and we went through, it was completely cleaned up. There was nothing left. So when you take a picture of everybody, it's sort of hard to really get a good handle on that these are very precious lives. Until you have the opportunity maybe just to hold one. And so when you look into the eyes of some of these kids, or all of them, you really, number one, you appreciate what you have, but it really helps understand the mission and the calling that Jesus has placed in every one of us. And they're happy. They're happy kids. And they're not all kids either. This little boy, I think Steph took the picture of this little guy. Had a smile on his face, but just completely grubby, just dirty. But they are so thankful for what Hope of Life can do. And like I said, I think it's every, maybe 3 days a week, that there's a team, and people from all over, when they go to serve of Hope of Life, this is an option for you to do, is to go serve at the dump. Okay? This was an awesome picture with Emma, with this little girl. So once we fed them, we had the opportunity to take a tour of a dump. Now, it's sort of an unusual thing to take a tour of, but that's what we did. And so we left the main shelter, and we sort of kept going down the main road, and you can see sort of off in the distance, that's sort of like the edge of where the garbage is trashed, but that's what it looks like. It's just a mess. Dirty, dusty, hot. And here we're sort of in the area where they dump the trash, and you can see the garbage truck would sort of back up where we were at and dump it right on the edge, and you see that the leading edge of the trash is burning. And Michelle, our translator, we were just sort of grouped up here, and she was giving us just sort of a history of the dump and what Hope of Life has done there. So it was humbling, and I think if you go to the next one, maybe you can see. So sort of in this far corner in the right, you can see one of these little tents. There used to be a lot more, but there's still a few around the sort of the outskirts of this dump, and it's just whatever these people can find to prop up and to keep them out of the sun, they just put tarps. And so that's where they live. And they will run into there, or run out, grab the garbage, collect as much as they can, bring it back, and then they have to sort of guard it because they don't want people stealing what the little bit of money they can get for it. And I mean, it is a way of living that you can only imagine. And so we walked around sort of the backside of the dump, and we got to meet one of these families. Of course, when you're there every other day or 3 days a week, you start to develop relationships with people. And that's really how you get to really share the love of Christ. First, you take care of their physical needs, and then you have an open door to take care of their spiritual needs. So we had an opportunity to meet a mom. I don't think the picture's in here, but you can go to the next one. Oh, that's our parting shot. Okay. I'm thankful for my niece and my sister and my wife. Thanks, Emma. So we got to meet a lady. She had a couple kids. We just asked if we could pray for her. And she wasn't a believer. She didn't really resist, but we just took some time and just asked the Lord if he would be gracious and provide her what she needs. And I want to have, Anna's going to share a little bit with us in just a second about her thoughts over on Guatemala. But one thing that I became aware of as we walked through that dirty mess is I couldn't help but think, we had hiking boots on, and you really have to. There's a lot of glass and metal, but I was just thinking, this would have been the place that you would have seen Jesus walk. I mean, he spent some time in the temples, but we know that Jesus, when he was alive, his passion was compassion on people. And so he went to these places. That's where he would have gone. And I was blessed by that. I just made me really, once again, stop and think, what is Jesus telling us? What is he asking us to do? So Anna, if you're going to come up, Anna went with us. It was great having her on our trip. She was a lot of fun. We had a good time, and I just asked if she'd be willing to come and just for a few minutes share her perspective.
Poverty firsthand, but it was so humbling, and especially the dump, those pictures you saw, like, it just doesn't do it justice, just the beauty of those people, but also the need that they have, and there is such a need there, and it can get overwhelming, but it's really just incredible it was just incredible to be there and to be able to see and even have a small part in helping in any way that I could. And definitely one of my highlights of the whole trip was just being in the hospital and holding the babies and playing with the kids and stuff. Was really incredible. And also another thing that I really enjoyed seeing was how the O'Connors live and really, they're just their servants' hearts and how they just love people, and they're just, like, such a light to others. It was really amazing to see that firsthand and to be able to watch them live for a week, kind of, was really cool. So one of my big takeaways, I guess, from the trip overall, and I went into the trip, and I just, like, I was asking the Lord to open my eyes because I wanted to see what he wanted me to see and to be able to see firsthand what was going on and not to be afraid of being uncomfortable or being saddened for these people, but just to be able to see that and that he would just, like, break my heart for what breaks his. And he definitely did, because these people, they need so much, but they also have so much joy. And just to be able to share the love of Jesus, whether it's just in giving a hug to someone or a high five or saying hi or holding a child. Those are all just very simple ways that you can show the love of Jesus to people. And kind of one of my takeaways was, like, when we serve others and we take our eyes off of ourselves and see the needs of others, God can really use us. And not only are we able to bless others, but then he blesses us as well. And so I just want to encourage you, whether you have an opportunity to go to Guatemala or anywhere, or whether you're here, just, like, find a way to take your eyes off of yourself and serve others. And it just changes your perspective on everything. And I definitely feel like going to Guatemala changed my perspective on life, because we have so much and they have so little, but they also have so much joy. And then the last thing was kind of just that no matter how much compassion we have for these people and no matter how much we want to help them, God loves them way more than we ever could. And that's really encouraging to see and to be able to understand is just that God loves that place and those people, and he created them, and he is taking care of them, and he's using people like the O'Connors to take care of them, which is really beautiful to see. So.
Thanks, Anna, for just giving us a snapshot of your perspective. I don't know how we get to 11 o'clock, five after, so quick, but just a few things. I'd like to read just quickly from Matthew chapter 25. I think these are words of Jesus that really summarize well. I think as we travel down to Guatemala, and these are words for all of us in our lives. Just a quick background, though. This conversation that we read about that Jesus is speaking really starts in two chapters before in Matthew 24, where he's having this private conversation with his disciples. The disciples want to know, Lord, when are you going to end all this? What are the signs of the time? What's going to happen at the end? And so Jesus goes through and he explains to them all the things that are going to happen and things to look out for when he comes back. So that's sort of the context of the last few verses of chapter 25. So if you have your Bibles, please open, and I'm going to just quickly read 31 through the end of the chapter 46. When the Son of Man, and these are Jesus' words, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal fire. So just, you know, as I was contemplating these verses, it's amazing in verse 31, it says the Son of Man will come in his glory with the angels, and he will sit on the throne of glory. And just what a contrast that is to what we just celebrated in Christmas about the humility of the birth, about humility in Christ. And when Jesus comes back again, it's going to be completely opposite, and everybody will know who is the true King of Kings. It says he will gather all nations before him. That means everybody. That means all of us. And it says he separates the sheep from the goats, and we recognize that Jesus is referring to the sheep being his chosen people, the people that have looked to him for salvation, versus the goats, people who have not, people who said no. I'm not going to choose you. And the Lord asked them, or when the Lord says, come to the sheep, he says, come and you're going to enter into the kingdom that I prepared for you. Both the sheep and the goats, I noticed, these people, they ask the same question of the Lord. And they say, when did we see you? When did we feed you? When did we visit you in prison? And I believe that when the Lord answers them, there's a lot of joy and adoration and hope in the people, in the sheep, his followers, because they get it. they understand. But the people who are on his left hand, they don't get it. They ask and they get the answer, and it's one of sorrow and one of despair. Because Jesus says to them, depart from me. And so I think as we read this, we understand that really Jesus' heart is compassion, and that's the key to action. Compassion defined Jesus' ministry. And it says in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, it says, Jesus came for those who are sick, not for the well. He came for the sinner, not for the righteous. So my challenge to myself is just to continue on a daily basis to understand what Jesus as a man came to us, what he wanted us to do, the instructions. And I am challenged because you do not have to go to Guatemala to see those who are sick or are naked or who are poor, because I believe that while Jesus was talking about those are physical, those are literal needs we see, but there are people all around us that we work with and that we are neighbors with that are poor and blind. And so we need to consider those words, that we don't have to go to that dump to put these words into practice. And so I just hope and pray that my experience in Guatemala will continue to challenge me to look at people differently, look at them the way that Jesus did, and realize that they are in need. And as Matt prayed this morning, we have a lot of family members that need to know the saving message of the cross. Let's pray. Lord, I am just so grateful for the words that you teach us, for your gospel message, Lord, for the words that are written in red. And I pray, Lord, that as we start this new year, as we go into 2019, that you can continue, Lord, to challenge us as we look at who you were, that we will understand, Lord, what our mission is on earth, and to know, Lord, that you came for the sick and the needy. And oftentimes, Lord, we find ourselves in that same camp. And so, Lord, I just pray that the hope that we have, that we can share that with those around us. Guide us, Lord, into this new year. Thank you that you have given us promises that we can stand on. And over the next 40 days, Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us can take time out and cry out to you, Lord, asking us for direction for our church and for our lives. And as we do that consistently, Lord, we trust and we have faith in you that you will show us the way. In Jesus' name, amen.